It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
The following is a presentation of the 90.9 The Light Sports Department. For people who can't get enough of the NBA, we'll take you through this week's action across the nation, following the league's top players, team standings, and the latest NBA news. This is From the Perimeter. What's up, guys? Welcome into another week of From the Perimeter. I'm your host, Kyle Vaught. Alongside me, Thomas Pensiero. We also are live on Facebook right now. Woo! We're making it big. We got a Twitter. We got Facebook Live going now.
We got a whole crew.
We do. We've got a whole crew. I really feel like we're going to make it big. So for those of you on Facebook Live, I'm just going to introduce them now. We've got Moise Walters, as well as everybody else behind here. We got Christian Taylor back there. On the other side, we've got Jacob Couch. There you go. Don't let that fall. Now I'm not even in there now, but that's cool. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, so we're going to break this down.
A lot of NBA news.
A lot of NBA news, all right? The NBA, we're going to start it off with one quick thing called a three-second violation because it's just gotten me to the point where I can't even think anymore because it's just so ridiculous. So, here we go. The NBA has issued a one-game suspension to DeMarcus Cousins because of his 18th technical foul this season. I'm calling a three-second violation on the NBA because this wasn't a ridiculous technical foul. 32 seconds into the game, Steven Adams and DeMarcus Cousins were really close. Yeah, they were really close. Ball came in. There was an away-from-the-basket, on-the-floor foul. It was a clear foul. But instead, they kind of pushed each other off, and they called a technical. They called a double technical on Steven Adams and DeMarcus Cousins. And then that leads to this. Like, what in the world? Is this even fair? Is this even real?
Well, it kind of seems like DeMarcus Cousins... the reason he gets so many technical fouls is because he doesn't fit in the current NBA. His play style. He's kind of an 80s and 90s type NBA type player. And his play, he would have 1, 2, 3 technicals in the NBA if he was playing in the 90s. None of these would be technicals back in the bad boy era of the NBA, back with the Pistons and the Knicks. He would be an average player. He wouldn't even be dirty. So I don't think... You're right. This is a three-second violation on the NBA. It was a ridiculous call. He shouldn't have got another technical. He shouldn't be suspended. And it seems like, what, 3 games in with the Pelicans that the refs are not giving him a break at all.
No,
they're not giving him a break at all.
He's constantly been showing, and I know it's only been like a week and a half, but he's showing that he's progressed and that he wants to progress. And right now, they're not giving him the benefit of the doubt. They're saying, oh, this is the same Boogie Cousins that we saw in Sacramento, and we're going to see him moving forward, so we're just going to keep the clap on him. We're just bam. And I feel like that's completely unfair, and it's going to take away from what he's capable of, because he still dropped 31 points. Between AD and Boogie Cousins, I believe it was like 67, 68 points that they scored.
And then the rest of the team, there was only one double-digit scorer on the team.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
Right, those are the problems with the Pelicans as a whole. They need to work on that. But I did listen to what he said afterwards, and I love that he didn't create light about the technical foul. They asked him, you know, what about this? And he said, right now, we just need to figure out what's going on with us. We need to make this work. That's our main focus. Like, yeah, the technical, I don't agree with it. I didn't think I did anything to deserve it. But he essentially completely shied away from the technical issues and just said, we need to figure out how to work together, which I really like. But moving on to our next subject, Thomas, this is another three-second violation. I want to play you this soundbite, and I want to see your reaction, and then I'll let you talk about it because I don't even have anything to say. This is LaVar Ball, the father of Lonzo Ball, who is a very awesome college basketball star right now at UCLA. And this is what he had to say.
Tell you this right now, I have the utmost confidence in what my boy is doing. I'm gonna tell you right now, he better than Steph Curry to me. Here, put Steph Curry on UCLA's team right now and put my boy on Golden State and watch what happens. Down on it again. And like I said, if I don't know what my boy's about, I'm not gonna make that statement. Like, Steph's gonna have problems trying to guard my boy. And let's see, play one-on-one.
What in the world?
All right, so I see this in two parts. I have no problem with them saying his boy is better than Steph Curry. If he wants to say that, fine. You can say your son's better than Steph Curry. That's your opinion. You're his father. That's okay. I mean, nobody's going to get mad for a dad for saying that his son's the best. But when he starts saying, put Steph Curry on UCLA team and put my son on the Warriors, and it'd be a totally different story.
Steph Curry would drop 75 every night for UCLA.
Because we saw a 20-year-old Steph Curry on a Davidson team bring him far. Put him on a team like UCLA back then, he'd still do better than Lonzo Ball. Now he's, what, 27, 28 years old? Those three-pointers in college are like a layup to the Steph Curry.
I mean, they really do kind of feel like it. We saw him the other night. Not last night, of course. We'll talk about that. But we saw him the other night where he just was, you know, 6 feet behind the arc, you know, 10 feet behind the arc. He's shooting from 41 feet like it's nothing.
Well, now Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar, is saying he wants his son to play for the Lakers and the Lakers only. He clarified that a little bit, but You're making, I understand, you're trying to make
mountains
your son
out of molehills.
You're trying to make a brand out of your son, and you're doing very well, but you gotta let him play his game. You gotta let him do his own thing a little bit.
I think there's one thing that needs to be stated in this as well.
Mominger. What is it? Mominger?
Well,
Mom Manager?
Here's the deal, though. If you go back through what he's done and what he's been a part of all of his son's basketball, he has been their coach. He's been their strength and conditioning. He's been their motivation. He's been somebody who's supported him throughout. So it's not what he's saying, it's how he's saying it, as cliche as that sounds, but it's seriously true. None of us are mad at parents when they stick up for their kids. All of us will stick up.
But when you start making it a diss at Steph Curry, who is a two-time MVP
and
a champion.
It's becoming that dish that kind of is really what I think is irking people. But at the same time, I want to see Lonzo play in the NBA before we say anything else about that. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. So we're going to transition. Okay? The big three. Because, of course, not every team, you know, can have a big three. But we have a big three, and now we have a big five. We may have to change this segment. But everybody is right now falling apart, it feels like, in the NBA. Which calls for blurred lines. I'm just saying. The injury bug. Ben Simmons is out for the whole year. We knew that already. Joel Embiid is out indefinitely, though, with a swollen foot injury. What in the world? Like, he was out for an injury, we see him dancing, and now this.
I believe he was out for 2 games, then he came back, played pretty well.
He was out for 9 games when he was dancing.
Well,
he had been out for 9 games
before
when we saw him dancing.
He came back at one point for a game, played great, and then he sat out the 9 games, and now he's out indefinitely. What's going on in Philadelphia? We saw all that talent. At one point in the year, they had Nerlens Noel out there. They had Joel Embiid. They had Jahlil Okafor out there. Ben Simmons hasn't played all year, but they still had those three guys. Now the rest of the year, they're left with Jahlil Okafor, and that's it. It's Jahlil Okafor, and that's it. And what have we seen from him this year?
Hey, it's his time to shine. He thought he was going to get traded.
He's averaging.
I mean, if I was him, I probably wouldn't want to put all of my effort into them if they were
understand.
Like, we're not going to play you because we're getting rid of you.
I don't understand
and
what
then,
he's
oh,
doing.
Oh, hey, by the way, welcome back. No.
Jahlil Okafor has taken a down step. Now it is his team for the rest of the year, but you have to be concerned with the process going on in Philadelphia. Because the last guy left is Jahlil Okafor. The other guys are injured. You have to be concerned. You have to be concerned with what this team is going. It's still, you have to trust the process, but
it's going to be a longer process now.
It was already a long process.
Absolutely. Moving on to the next one. That was quick. Just how we moved through that. There are a few other things. Knicks waive Brandon Jennings. Joakim Noah is out for the rest of the year. Like, right now, basically, I don't know what's happening
this
anymore.
This is good, actually, for the Knicks.
Better
without him.
I want Mo to chime in on this one just because you two are Knicks fans.
Listen, man, this is killing me. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and just having Melo by himself right now is...
It's sad.
Putting him on an island.
You know what's really, really, really sad, though? Is he is on an island, but he's not. Like, all the people behind him, what about Porzingis? What about Rose? Wasn't Rose supposed to play well?
Please, come on.
Just saying.
It's Derrick Rose.
I mean, it's not just Melo. You have Porzingis, who's possibly going to be one of the...
He's been in and out of the lineup, though. He's
did
great.
Did he get injured a couple days ago?
He's been injured. He's finally back. He's
going to
play tomorrow.
Make sure it's on here next time.
He's not injury prone, okay? He is not injury prone.
I don't know.
He played 80 games his rookie season, and he's played the majority of the games this year. He's just been in and out of the lineup. A lot of them were
these
sicknesses.
These last few weeks.
A lot of them have been sicknesses.
I forget, when you're from Latvia, things like that happen.
You gotta adjust to the New York lifestyle. It's different.
But gotta stay away from that Chinese food.
I've said this before. Joakim Noah, that's the worst contract in the NBA right now. They still have like $70 million left on his contract.
Golly. Phil, what are you doing? At this point, I may take Vlade Divac over Phil.
I feel bad for Melo.
I'm so sorry. I feel bad for Melo as well.
That's a step in the right direction. You've been a Melo hater the last few weeks.
I have not. I've been melodramatic.
Ooh, that's bad.
I'm just saying, that's what it's been. Also, injury bug going on right now. Kyle Lowry will miss the rest of the season until the playoffs. He is having surgery on his wrist. What does this mean for Toronto?
It could mean a lot.
Or it could not.
It could. They've been playing pretty well since the All-Star break. What is it, three straight they've won?
Wait, that's without Kyle Lowry.
That's without Kyle Lowry.
They're on a three-win streak.
With the addition of Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker, they have a lot of added depth.
Does that mean that there is a possibility that they are going to get hot at the right time?
I wouldn't say that they're going to get hot at the right time in the regular season without Kyle Lowry.
Do you think that they can take down LeBron James and the Cavaliers in the postseason?
It depends.
Because
if Kyle Lowry comes back healthy, maybe, but...
Even if he's not?
No,
how
they
many
have
points
no
are
chance because he is their best player, and without him...
How many points are they dropping?
It's three games. It's a three-game stretch. You cannot base an entire season
who
on a three-game stretch. It doesn't matter who they play. It's three games.
Who have they played?
It does not matter who... Who's their back? Who's starting point guard now? Corey Joseph is going to be their starting point guard for the
rest of the season. I just want to know who they've played.
It doesn't matter.
Have they played good teams?
It doesn't matter.
Have they played bad teams?
It's three games.
Pretty sure the Celtics are pretty good.
It's after the All-Star break. It's three games.
Everybody should be completely rejuvenated, and the good teams could trash them.
Kyle.
That's what should happen.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry. Saved by the bell.
Yeah, you were saved by the bell.
Kevin Garnett says the AAU, the Amateur Athletic Union, is killing the league. I want to play for you a soundbite of Kevin Garnett going off on this, and I want to hear your reactions. And Mo, you can chime in on this as well. I am kind of passionate about this, so let's listen in.
Our league now is at a point where you have to teach more than anything. AAU has killed our league.
Yeah.
Seriously, I hate to even say this, but it's real. AAU has killed our league from the perspective that these kids are not being taught anything. They have intentions and they want things, but the way they see it is not how our league works.
No.
You earn everything in this league. You're not entitled to anything.
Yeah.
And it's more entitlement than anything. So.
Okay. So clearly he's not thrilled by everything that's going on. He wants to make sure that people are working for this. What are some of the things that have gone on that you've noticed? You know, how is he right? How is he wrong?
How is he right? I think he is right because AAU is a very different sport than high school basketball or college basketball because it's all travel. Do they practice in AAU much? Do they have organized practices that...
From experience, not really.
It's
a run-and-gun style
and
of basketball.
You're putting teams together.
Is it street play, basically?
Basically street play.
And it's just to get your name out there.
It's a better way
to travel and get scouted out.
Do they have refs?
They do have refs. Not good ones,
man,
for the most part.
Boogie Cousins would be awesome there.
I'm just saying, it has its flaws. It really does, because there is no designated. There is a coach, but he's not really there to teach you basketball. These guys are coming in assuming to know the game of basketball, assuming to know everything that they're supposed to, and you're throwing them into a schedule, traveling them around, and you're really not teaching them. That's what Kevin Garnett said, and I agree with him there, but what can you do about it? There's no alternative to AAU at this point. There's really no, other way to get the top basketball prospects, to get them away from AAU. What are you going to do? Because high school basketball at this point, I love it, but it's not enough because of AAU.
But what about LaMelo Ball? I mean, he dropped 92 points.
Did you see that game?
Yeah.
He didn't cross half court the whole game.
I mean, he was really playing some defense. Maybe that was like a premature James Harden. No defense.
Premature James Harden. Hey, he's playing better this year.
Okay? I know. I think Mark D'Antoni is... Everything he's doing is the right thing.
So, I bottom line, I do agree a lot with what Kevin Garnett said here. AAU has its problems. It's teaching the wrong culture to NBA stars. It's teaching them the wrong things because it's not teaching them the right way to play basketball as much. But we don't have an alternative. We don't have an alternative at this point.
What would you propose to do differently?
It's hard to play high school basketball and AAU during the same season and teach the game the right way. So I think there needs to be restrictions on AAU, maybe shorten the season, something, or you play either high school basketball or AAU. I don't know if there's room for both because it kind of it hurts development in a way. Does that make sense?
Mo, what do you think?
From personal experience, as I said before, it's agreed. I just think AAU is another league that is just a glorified pickup league, if I could say. the coaches don't care. The players really don't care. It's just
they just want to play.
They just want to play, basically.
So there's nothing really different than being like, hey, guys, want to go to the park and we'll play 5-on-5.
But I think something we're seeing a lot is, too, all these guys who are coming into the NBA, although a lot of them are 19, 20 years old, the 1 year of college hasn't seemed to benefit them as much, too, coming from the AAU. You're seeing a lot of guys struggle to come into the NBA. Somebody like a Brandon Ingram, all these guys in the draft this year, there's no rookie averaging double digits this year. So none of them have been ready. Yeah, there are no rookies averaging double-double. Joel Embiid doesn't count.
I know he doesn't. Okay. I have a bold prediction.
Bold prediction.
Buddy Hield is going to average.
He's at 8.5 right now, I believe.
He's going to average for the year. He'll average double digits, which means he's got to basically put up, 18 for the rest of the year.
Well, what is double digits in Sacramento? Does that count as like 4
points? Well,
the
other night he played really, really well. So
he did. No, I'll give him credit.
We'll see here. We'll see. All right, moving on. Three-time All-Star, Deron Williams. He's averaging 13 points and 7 assists. He's already been signed by the Cavs.
Correct.
Now, Andrew Bogut.
Finally released.
Previously on the Warriors. He's released from the Mavericks, right?
76. He got traded from the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah, that's
76ers.
Right. In that crazy trade. So he got released, and he is looking to join the Cavs as well. Right now, he's averaging 3 points and 8 rebounds, which the 8 rebounds are huge, actually. People say, no points. He needs to be able to put up some points in the paint, too. What do you think that means for the Cavs?
I like it a lot. I like this. I think this is a much-needed help for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, does this put them over the Warriors? No, obviously not. But does this put them in the same situation, the same sentence as the Warriors? I think so, because we saw what Andrew Bogut can do in the postseason in previous years. He's an NBA champion now. He's got a ring. If he steps up his game, obviously his game hasn't been as great for the Dallas Mavericks this year. 3 points,
but
8 rebounds.
He was playing with Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, you're not playing with great talent over there.
I think he's bitter.
He's going to have to see something to prove going to Cleveland right now. If he gives you minutes like Timothy Mozgov gave you 2 years ago in the playoff. That can help the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he played on the team they're looking to face in the finals.
I think the main thing is that he has a chip on his shoulder, and I think that he wouldn't play as hard. He would play harder for the Cavs than any other team because he knows that everybody anticipates to go up against the Warriors in order to basically win anything.
And I don't want to overlook Deron Williams either, because he's playing actually pretty well.
He's averaging
13 and 7 is
It's not bad at all.
Decent. He was playing on a good team. He was playing on, where was he? Where was Darren Williams? Where did he just get cut from? Mavericks too as well, right?
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, so he was putting up decent numbers to back up Kyrie Irving. Now you have another playmaker, which is what LeBron James has publicly been saying all year. They needed another one. It's much needed help. It's much needed help. So it puts them in the same sentence with the Warriors now.
I agree. It's going to be interesting. Although, I will say this. If they do go out and get Bogut, what does this say about the Cavs' confidence in their current players? They have a lot of really good low post players and people who can play the center position. They can a lot of number four. They have a lot of four. They don't have a lot of fives, but they do have a few. And I know LeBron can play anywhere.
Well,
so.
I think this is also helping because of injuries. You just need depth at this point too. I mean, who are you going to play? Now, Kevin Love's out for the rest of the regular season. J.R. Smith still isn't back.
You
need some depth to get some chemistry going for the playoffs because you can't rely on Kevin Love coming back healthy and then staying healthy in the playoffs. So you need the help now and for the playoffs.
I would agree with that.
Thank you.
I mean, that's one for you. Man, these segments are flying by. We've got three-point play coming up. What is this? Terry Rozier? Is that how you say that?
Yep.
All right.
Of the Boston Celtics.
Man, that's exciting.
What's exciting?
I don't know.
Is that the Boston Celtics?
No, I just was reading this was like, man, I want to do this now before every show.
What a tease.
I'm just saying. Sorry. That's my goal. All right. So Terry Rozier gets his hair cut before every home game. I think I need to get my hair cut before every show. Guys, do you have
any? You're wearing a hat right now.
I know. That's because
I'm... Is it because you didn't get a haircut before?
No. No, I actually am most likely all my hair is going to be gone soon. So we'll see. Just
it's a sad story.
Hey, I'm going to go straight SVP, so it'll work.
You're going to go with the beard, though?
Yeah, probably.
I like it.
I want to be a little
different.
It'll
look good with a beard.
Yeah, you know how Ryan Russillo has, like, buzz hair? I'll probably start with that until I can get the tan
and
well
the
and everything's even, and then I'll shave the rest off. Guys, do you have anything weird that you guys do, like, before something? Any superstitions?
Oh, man. Let's see.
Mo, what do you got?
I don't know.
Sometimes I wear double socks in my basketball games.
I've done that before. I've done the double socks.
And it works. I usually win when I wear them. So.
Okay. Nice. What about you?
I always play the same song before I play. In high school when I played games and in intramurals, I always played the same song right before.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really have any. I just went out and killed it.
Just killed it
every night.
Just killed it.
Natural.
Yeah,
just
I just
natural. He didn't need it.
I had two older brothers, so I have two older brothers. They're still my older brothers, but it was just growing up. Basically, it was everybody's against you, and you have to play as if you're older and bigger than you really were. So yeah, that's why I fouled a lot. I was a defensive player. I could pass like I was like Rondo basically.
Do we need an FTP intramural basketball team?
I mean, we have five right here.
We got a starting five right here.
We got a starting five.
We have a starting five.
We may not be tall. I don't know if any of us are over 6 feet. But.
I can still get rim. So
you can get rim. There we go. That's
all
we need.
I can still get rim. So, all right. ESPN NBA Insider Kevin Pelton's projections give Russell Westbrook an 81% average, an 81% chance to average a triple-double this year. Really?
That's pretty high.
That's really, really high.
I think it could be even higher.
Okay. So let's just...
I don't see any reason that he wouldn't average the triple-double at this point.
Let's just average this out, Thomas. Westbrook needs 41 triple-doubles this season to match Robertson's total, and that was during the 61-62 season. He has 29 triple-doubles through 59 games. Pelton projects Russell to get 40.
Oh, he'll get the 41. He'll get the 41.
Why?
There's no way he ends in 40. Because if he has 40 before the last game, they're going to give him 41 the last game no matter what. Unless they're on the fringe of the playoffs. But if you see, they have a 79% win percentage when he has a triple-double. So it's actually better for the team to get him a triple-double. Because they're 79% win chance percentage. That'd be the best in the NBA right now. I believe he had a triple-double every game.
That's pretty impressive.
So obviously they need him to get a triple-double if they want to win.
Yeah, but that's sad that he has to do all that work.
I agree with that. I mean, now, but they did get some help at the trade deadline. Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott.
Oh my gosh, they probably made out better than anybody else.
That's great help for
them. They really did, and I think you guys covered most of it the other day. But seriously, they made out with basically the steal.
They stole them.
How did that happen too? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
I don't know what the Bulls are doing.
Yeah, nobody knows what they're doing. Also, three-time All-Star and former Piston, Richard Hamilton's number 32 was retired at halftime of Sunday's game. He did win an NBA championship in 2004. It was back with, what was that, Ben Wallace?
Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups.
Yeah.
The Steve Wallace era.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
That was a good Pistons team because there was no legitimate star. It was just a band of guys who were all good.
They were cutthroat, too. Everything I remember watching, nobody liked them, but they all wanted them to win. I just remember everybody was so frustrated with just the dominance of big men and how they played, were inside the paint at all times.
I love this because, to be honest, Richard Hamilton is one of the people that got me interested in the NBA because I'm a UConn fan. Growing up, I started watching UConn basketball first before the NBA when I was 5-6 years old. He won a championship in 99 with UConn. That was their first championship. He's one of the guys that got me interested in watching the NBA. I love seeing him get his number retired. He was a great player in the NBA. He was one of the original guys that wore the face mask for breaking the nose. I loved it.
It's so exciting stuff. Always exciting stuff. So, last segment of the day, we move on to the alley-oop. We definitely want to kind of intro this. Mo, this is your first time on the show. So far, I've liked what you've had to say, and you're going to get a great chance to talk here. I'm going to let you, rant on some stuff here. But real quick, the way that alley-oop works is basically we'll throw up a soft toss to each other. We just want...
I was practicing this on 2K. I wasn't practicing my words.
I was practicing.
Oh my God.
Essentially, this is like the All-Star game where we just want to score points. So.
Or all my 2K games because I'm better than everybody.
Well, good for you. So I played once in the last 10 years and it was the other night. Like, you know, it happens. Anyway, so for the alley-oop, I'm going to toss one to Thomas first. I'll show you how it's done and everything like that. We'll get you going. And then I've got two for you to double up on this. All right, so first off, Thomas, there's been a lot of social media criticism for Celtics GM Danny Ainge. He didn't make a trade before the deadline, and he's been the GM since 2003. He was a part of the championship team in 08. So even though he's had some bad drafts and some issues with that, he is usually a trade wizard. Him and he also hired Brad Stevens. Is this criticism warranted at all, or is this just people talking?
So is it warranted? No, not really. I didn't like that he didn't make a trade at trade deadline, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think that if they don't make a trade before the draft in June or July, I think then you can start criticizing him a little bit because you have all these assets. You need to start making some trades and getting a star. You need to go get a Paul George. You need to go get a Jimmy Butler. As much as you and I both don't like Jimmy Butler, you need a star.
Wait, what?
What? You don't like Jimmy Butler?
I don't mind Jimmy Butler.
You don't like Jimmy Butler.
I think as a person, he's a kind of a spaced out person. Doesn't make the best decisions. But as a player, I think he's above average.
I agree. I mean,
Sean
he's
Livingston,
a good player.
Backup. Bench player.
See, you don't like Jimmy Butler.
I think he's a great player. Absolutely. Every NBA team would love to have him.
I'm saying if you're the Celtics, you need to start trading. Jamal Charles.
Oh, sorry.
Jamal Charles did get cut today.
Jamal Crawford. That is true.
But
he did.
You look at his draft picks. He hasn't been very strong with the Boston Celtics. You look at some of their last few first-round picks, Jaylen Brown this year, couple of Euro players last year, Terry Rozier, RJ Hunter, Marcus Smart, James Young, Jared Sullinger, Fab Melo, Avery Bradley. That goes back to 2011, and the only guy that's playing significant minutes is Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. And those guys aren't stars. They're just great role players. But you look at all the trades he's made, getting Kevin Garnett, getting Ray Allen, getting the championship, and then getting that all those draft picks from Brooklyn a few years after the championship.
Poor Brooklyn. I just feel bad for them.
They just stole so much from Brooklyn.
You know what I'm going to say? So I'm gonna say that this one, you didn't slam it down.
He's a good GM.
I think at this point...
It's a wait and see.
I kind of threw it to you, and instead of slamming it down, you grabbed it and threw it off the glass, and it went in.
It was a layup.
You know? It was fancy. I'll give you that.
I can't dunk. Remember that?
Ah, oh, we'll get you there. I bet Mo could dunk.
On a fast break on occasion.
There we go.
Oh, snap. I got to see that. Bit. All right, Mo. So now we're set up. We've got you going.
You better set him up for a fast break then.
I would. I wish I could. I don't have one at this moment, but I kind of do because I added one. I don't know if you saw the one that I added to the show. It's gonna be good. I think so, at least. So here's the deal, Mo. Bleacher Report has been in the news because Mark Cuban, you know, being Mark Cuban, everybody likes to be a billionaire, so he definitely flaunts it a little bit. Bleacher Report deleted Dirk Nowitzki's airball video tweet after Mark Cuban complained to the president of Turner. He sent a tweet out saying, please get rid of this or I'm going to basically make your life a living heck to be nice. What is your take on this?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to put it like this. I admire the loyalty Mark Cuban has to his players and to his team. But let's be realistic. LeBron, Kobe, literally every good NBA player has airballed a shot.
Steph did two in a row last night.
Exactly. That's the best shooter in the NBA right now. I just think he's a little bit too over the top. He's the older definition of a Russell Westbrook kind of DeMarcus Cousins, no self-control kind of person. So I think he needs to more than tone it down a little bit, but I do admire the loyalty.
See, I'm on that side more. Like, if he had just simply been like, ha, 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 come on, guys. Like, we're talking about Dirk Nowitzki. Like, something along those lines, he would have backed his player, and I guarantee Bleacher Report would have been like, yeah, that's right, Dirk Nowitzki's a phenomenal player, stuff like that. Because now...
He seems entitled at this point, making them...
Now...
Forcing them to delete it.
It's like him flexing. Like, I'm powerful. And really,
all
it kind of does is make me think, well, that's cool you like your players, but I think you want to, like, be on the team with them. Owner, player, coach, can we see a...
You can't control media at this point in society.
It's freedom of press.
Exactly, so you can't control media.
We're covered by the law. We can say what we want. Which is exciting. All right, here we go. One last one. You got about a minute on this one, all right? Steph Curry shot 0-for-11 from the perimeter last night. The Warriors still went on to win 119-108 against the 76ers. All right, first off, that's an off night. That's pretty bad.
That's really bad.
He still had 19 points, though. Okay? So this is my question. If they're able to still almost drop 120 points... How scared should the rest of the NBA be?
Scary, 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 scary. This is scary business. All NBA teams, listen right now. This is scary business. Cleveland, listen. Spurs, all you guys got to listen up right now. They almost dropped 120 points. The best shooter in the NBA didn't have 1-3. It's scary business.
It was against Philly, though.
At the same time, 120 points against any team.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, still.
Zaza Pachulia went off for 16. Steph still had 19, and he didn't make 1 3-pointer.
How many did Klay have yesterday?
Klay had 21. He only had 3 3-pointers.
I mean, come on. That's huge. And then we're looking at this. I did see this. Thank you, Christian, for pointing this out, because how could I have missed it? When asked about this, going 0 for 11, Steph goes, I think he was joking, but he said, the weatherman said it was like a low pressure system that was coming in, and I forgot about the pressure, and I forgot to adjust for the air, the thinness and the thickness of the air. He was just kind of joking around. But
well, hopefully you adjust to Lynchburg air, because he'll be able to
see it tomorrow. Yeah, you know, on that note, you know, we are excited here at Liberty University to accept and to root on... Steph Curry tomorrow in convocation. hopefully we all get a chance to say hey or wave or at least high five his bodyguard or something on our way.
There's gonna be a lot of
be cool.
Yeah, I mean,
bodyguard high five.
I figure I'm gonna high five him with my face because I'm gonna be running at Steph. But
you can get one of those blurry selfies maybe with him.
Yeah,
when he's
just,
not looking,
just
kind like
of run up behind him, like
the back of his head. Yeah,
we could find a way. We could definitely find a way. But real quick, just wrapping up. When you think about all the different things that are going on in the NBA, what is, give me one, each of you, give me one quick thing that you are the most excited about for the last half of this season.
As you guys all know, the NBA for the past couple of years has been primarily guard-oriented, so I'm really, really excited to see how this DeMarcus Cousins-Anthony Davis duo is going to do. I think the last time there was a good big man duo was David Robinson and Tim Duncan, if I remember correctly.
This is over 20 years ago.
I think I'm most excited about the Houston Rockets and seeing if they can overcome the Spurs. And maybe even the Warriors and the play. It looks like they're trying to outshoot the Warriors at this point.
They're dropping a lot of points.
Adding Lou Williams, didn't they set the record for most threes in a game with 61? 61 three-point attempts in a game earlier this season.
I was going to say, they didn't make that many. I think the
that's the most attempted. So I want to see them compete with the Warriors in just like a three-point shootout of a series. I'm most excited to see the Rockets.
Absolutely. I want to be like, yeah, I agree with both of you because both of you said exactly what I was looking forward to. The Houston Rockets and everything that they're doing is right. I can't brag on Mark D'Antoni enough for what he's done there over a year. Because last year, we looked at the first 11 games and they lost their coach because it was stress time.
If only he could do the same for when he was with the Knicks.
Only if, man.
If only he had more time.
If only he had point guard.
It's all. Well, yeah. But the other thing is DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. I'm so excited to see what happens when they gel, when they really gel. Because if they're putting up 31 and 38 points.
Well, is Gentry going to let them gel? Because he's trying to stagger their minutes.
He's staggering them a little bit because right now they don't have any other help. If they get Jrue Holiday playing at what he's been playing, then yes, absolutely. I think they're going to be solid. I don't think there's going to be an issue with that one at all. What about you? You think?
I think
they should be good. As long as DeMarcus Cousins keeps his ego out the door and stops arguing, I think they should be all right.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. That's what we love about the NBA.
You know what I love
just
about
never
the
know.
NBA? Yeah, you never know. I am excited to see the Raptors. I am really excited. I want Serge Ibaka to play like he...
Are you excited about Corey Joseph as their point guard for the rest of the season?
Sure. If they're dropping the points and if they're winning the games, then yeah, because they're beating teams like the Celtics, and you thought I was going to let it go, but I'm not going to. They've beat three good teams.
It's three games, Kyle.
Yeah, it's three games, but they won.
It's three games.
They won.
It's three games. Kyle Lowry is an all-star. They're going to miss him.
Absolutely
agree. They're
going to
miss him.
You know who else I'm excited to watch? The Hornets, because they got hosed the other night playing the Clippers.
So why are you excited to watch them?
Kemba Walker.
But they got hosed.
Yeah, they got hosed because the officiating was horrible. I'm just saying. They won the game. They won the game. And then they didn't win the game because they took the points off the board. It was a horrible call. But Kemba Walker, man, he had a three. It was like 3, 4, 5 seconds left or whatever. I don't remember how long. But he hit it, and it was just, it was like he knew that it was going in.
He did that once, and it actually didn't go in. He turned around and started celebrating. Like
everybody's done that before. My favorite was when Steph shot, and Bogey ran by and was like, and then he missed it. That was probably the best.
Didn't Nick Young do that too?
Oh, Nick Young does that probably every night. Yeah. Swaggy P, come on now. All right, that's going to do it for us here in the studio. I'm Kyle Vaught. That's Thomas Pensiero. Got Moise Walters, also known as Mo. I'm at Kyle Vaught on Twitter. We've got at Thomas J. Pensiero. Also follow us on Twitter at FTP_podcast. We're going to be working on getting some other stuff going on. Hopefully we'll get the Facebook page up so we can go on live from there. Until next time, thank you and good night.